Welcome to the Smarter Roofer Podcast.
Join twin brothers Elias and Matt Raber,
along with co-host Owen Schrock, as we share current marketing, sales, business, and life strategies to help you grow your commercial roof coating business. Let's dive in.
Welcome back to today's episode. A couple topics to cover today. Still catching up over the last 2.5 years. Talk about some things we've learned. What are some things that you guys have been doing the last 2.5 years? You had mentioned last episode about land. Then we're also going to talk about roofing, you know, the team, the organization.
I think it was 3 years ago. I think spring of 21, there's four of us that bought a property together. We just kind of had a dream of building just some like really unique Airbnbs on this property. We've been talking about doing it for a while. We just put a plan together. We bought, we found 100 acres. I think it's a little bit over 100 acres in central Ohio. Bought the land, has a little private lake on it, or actually two small lakes on it. Kind of lays in a valley. And so over the last 3 years, we built five, and then we actually bought a log home that's across the road as well. So there's six Airbnbs out there. Anytime you take on something new, like it looks dreamy and you're like, man, this is a great idea. You know, you see the upside to it. But it does take, you know, any new ventures always take more time and energy and money than what you anticipate on. And I don't regret doing it. It's been a really good thing for us. And I'm super excited about it. There's a lot of potential out there. They're renting really, really well, like probably over 90% occupancy on Airbnb, which is like, if you're over 55%, it's considered a really good in the Airbnb space. And we have a really good marketing guy. You would like this guy, Owen. He does like social media. If you are on social media, you can look it up. I think it's called Paradise Lake Ohio on Instagram and follow it if you want, or maybe go out and stay at it if you want.
It's hard to get in, by the way.
It is hard to get in, but they're like, you could search the entire state of Ohio and not find more unique builds. They're like super cozy A-frames. It's the perfect place to go do like an anniversary or something like that. And I think that's what a lot of people use it for, a special little occasion. They're really built for a couple. There's a couple single bedrooms, a couple two, and then there's one lodge. We've worked a lot with David. He's our partner. David's kind of a real estate guy. He's been for years, and he's an amazing partner to have. And he lives out there. So we're 3 hours away. He's right there. So he's put a lot more time into it than what we have. But there's been, you know, a lot of times we've been out there and spent a couple of days helping out, doing things. Just anytime you can do something yourself, like landscape or whatever, some of those things we did ourselves. But we hired all the building. We hired that out. But most of the like landscaping and stuff like that. I mean, it's expensive to get it done. So there was times we went out and just tried to save money. And we had a lot of fun doing it, but it does take a lot of time. So that's one of the ventures.
What's something that we could take away from as far as business? I mean, is there anything that you learned, you know, in that venture that people can apply in their own business?
And something like that, like have a really good partner. I think, you know, partners is we could make 10 episodes off of just partnerships and like how to work some of that, because partnerships can be a little bit like, it has to be the right people. You have to have the right, you got to be hungry. You have to have the same intentions or the same goals and the outcomes. And David's been like, he's super hungry. He's very knowledgeable. He's very expensive. I'll tell him to listen to this podcast. I don't know if he listens to this podcast, but I'll tell him to.
Well, David's the kind of guy that when he does something for us partners, sometimes it can be frustrating because he does it almost too right, which ends up costing more than you thought.
But it's never going to be wrong.
And it's never going to be wrong.
Yep.
The frustration is only in the moment when you're trying to figure your money out and those kind of things. But then when the reviews start coming in and the customers see the attention to detail and the lack of maintenance and all that kind of stuff, then you start to appreciate it. So one thing that I would say that I've learned through the whole process is this, and it applies to every aspect in life. If you're waiting for the perfect time to do anything, if we would have known everything it's going to take and how much it's going to cost us to do that, I don't know if we would have done it. So sometimes you just have to take the first step and you have to figure the rest of the steps out as you go. And I feel like that's what we've had to do. We've put twice as much money into it probably as we intended to, but we figured it out. You go talk to the banks, you go work with them, you figure it out as you go. And so I would encourage anybody, if you have goals and dreams and things that maybe feel like, oh, that's impossible, I could never do that, or I could never do this, or maybe I couldn't take and have a $5 or $10 million roofing company because you feel like you're not at the right place for that. And while you just take that first step, just trust the process and just take the first step and just say, hey, you know what? If I get myself in a pickle, I'll figure it out. I always have, and you probably always will. Like, remind yourself, when's the last time that you didn't get out of the situation that you were in? You've always somehow got out. You'll figure it out.
The most successful people that we've worked with in our teams are the kind of people that they don't have to have every dot I dotted and every T crossed. They're just going to get started. So if you have a dream, just act on that. Like, if you know what you want, every day go do something about it.
In other words, you don't have to have everything figured out in order to start on your dream.
That's right. You'll figure it out as you go.
Yeah. I can tell you from working with a decent amount of people in the past that have had to figure it all out. They've had to dot all their I's and cross all their T's before they could go do a cold call.
Then it's those people like never make it.
Right. It's like, okay, I'm working on my business cards right now, and I'm working on my website right now, and I finally have that, and we're going to get that QR code put on here. And once we have this done over here, and once we have the stickers on our trailer, and once we have our trucks detailed, and once they're always...
Steve Bonar says they just keep aiming.
They're trying to get it perfect before they take the first step. I would tell you, take the first step and then work on getting it perfect as you grow. Don't worry about having to go hire 3 sales guys right out of the gate. Go be your own sales guy right out of the gate and grow to becoming having a couple of them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, take those first steps and just take them with some faith. This all plays into personalities. If you have a personality that tends to be dot all the I's and cross all the T's, try to work on not having to be so perfect, such a perfectionist. That perfectionism, whatever you want to call it, can work for you and it can work against you. Use it, but grow to where you can be that perfectionist and don't let it hold you back right out of the gate.
Initially, the guy that is just going to go out and talk to people and build relationships is going to win way over that perfectionist. But eventually, as you grow your business, you have to bring some perfectionist in to be more organized as you grow it. But initially, you have to build relationships and get it off the ground.
This last year, I started back into websites. So I built a couple websites over the last couple of years. I used to do a lot of websites. We had a website company and sold that, I don't know, 7-8 years ago, maybe. This last fall, came across a couple of our contractors had websites that someone else built, and they looked horrible. I'd tell people, if your website builder uses the Comic Sans font, so it's a type style that is made for children. It looks like a 4-year-old, 5-year-old type style that you would use in a daycare center. And it should not be on a commercial roofing website. Extremely rare that you would ever use that in a professional business. I just got so fed up and frustrated with website builders that not only were they doing a poor job on design, but the pages were skinny, very little content, maybe... I think one website had 150 or 200 words on the homepage, like 2 paragraphs, that's it, and 1 picture. And the contractor had this website for like 6 years. Come to find out, someone had made the website for him, and it was free because he was buying some other products from this company. Well, the problem is, if he had a building owner that got a mailer, they would go to the website, and they would pull it up, and they see this 1 picture, 2 paragraphs, just very plain, old style website. Mm-hmm. How much business did he lose in 6 years' time? And
but the website was free.
Yeah, the website was free. You know, it saved him, well, we get $33 a month for hosting. So it saves him $33 a month.
And he's losing $10,000.
Losing millions in sales. And so I just got fed up with it. I said, we can do a lot better. So we have a team that takes care of content writing. We have another team that does graphic design, another team that does the speed, security, SEO, stuff like that. And we built a bunch of websites this year. So that's something I've done on the side for fun.
You don't hunt, do you?
I
build websites.
I build websites for fun. Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that. That's more profitable.
One thing I noticed going through the process of setting up my own business again and finding customers, it brought back all the old ideas of how to do sales. You know, what is the process you take someone through to actually close a deal? For me, it was a refresher. I thought it was exciting because here I get to actually do this process as all business owners do. You know, it was just something new for me this year. Again, I was like, wow, this is interesting. Now, because I look back how it used to be years ago, I had no idea about sales or a process, a marketing process. Now looking back, you're like, I know so much more about this and it's actually fun. And I think that's part of growth, growing in life, growing in business. And you learn these things over the years.
I have a little side business that I do for fun that allows my customers to take their prospects from over 1,000 yards away.
So your customers probably love having fun going out west hunting or something?
Yeah, that's what it is. Putting together some long guns for western hunters to be able to kill a mule deer or an elk or put that trophy on the wall from one mountainside to another. So we actually just got back from a trip to Colorado. Four guys tagged out in 3 days. The smallest buck was 165 on mule deer. Then I shot a mule deer that scored, had a broken tine, scored 205 with a broken tine and went 216. It was what we estimate him to be with a, if the tine would not have been broken. I took that prospect from 760 yards. So that's a fun little gig. Kind of helps guys be more successful and you get to hear the stories and see some videos.
One thing I notice is a lot of this ties into other businesses that we're already in. The Airbnb, that might be a little bit of a stretch, but if you help your team grow, become successful, they can rent the Airbnb, you know, they can go on vacation.
Yeah,
So you could tie that in.
Yeah, last year, a bunch of different people from our team stayed at this property, and we did some events there.
But the long-range, you know, packages, that ties into, you know, helping people have fun after they are successful in the in the organization, team building and roofing, websites, that ties in well.
I guess this would be our first full year that Tony and I started another roofing company. My brother-in-law, Tony, was in 22. Him and I talked a few times. He wanted to start something on his own. He wasn't sure what. Roofing actually wasn't something he was considering. He was considering a couple other options. One day I was driving down the road and my wife, Deb, it's Deb's brother. She called me and she was like, you really need to help Tony do something. He's got so much talent. He's really good with people. He really is. He's a people person. Like, he'd be a great guy to have a roofing company. He'd be really good with customers. I just called him up that day and I said, hey, have you ever considered starting your own roofing company? And he was like, I mean, I've thought about it, but I didn't think you guys would want me to because you already do roofing in this area. And so I explained to him a little bit how it works. And he was like, dude, I mean, it was that literally one phone call and he was like, I'm all over it. Like I said, well, why don't you guys come over tonight? We'll make dinner and we'll talk about it. We started spring of last year, I think it was. I think March of last year. We did a partnership, started selling roofs again. I mean, just growing it from the ground up, him and I. It's honestly been really good for me to just see really what it takes. You forget, you know, it's kind of like, I say it's kind of like having a baby. You know, a woman forgets pretty fast and she's like, I want another baby. I want another baby. And you're like, it was so hard to do that to start with because getting that wheel going, it's hard. It's difficult. I don't care, you know, what it is you're doing. And commercial roofing, it's the pay is really, really good, but it's much more difficult to get off the ground than residential roofing is. The sales cycle is longer. There's just a lot of differences between residential and commercial. And I'm like, let's just, you know, we focused 100% on commercial roofing and we just pushed into it. And our first year, we sold some really nice jobs off of marketing that we've done. And this would be our second year, but I've spent a lot of time with him and I think we're growing a really nice business. I'm super excited about Trump getting back in and I think the future is really bright and we're going to take advantage of that.
We're going to talk about that in the next episode. Some, I think 22 was probably our best year ever. And so again, coming back to that Biden bounce that we talked about, you know, COVID shut everything down, but then people came out of that and they really wanted to get back into it. And so it took about that lasted probably about a year and a half to 2 years, and then reality started setting in. I think 22 was our best year. I know April that month, our contractors did about 500,000, I think, just in that one cycle, which equates to, what, 1.5 million, 2 million sales probably. In
at least, probably over 2 million.
Just in that one cycle. We have some positive things coming in the next couple of years. One thing
for sure.
I was reminded of is where the fortunes are made usually. You know, you figure out what works. A roofing contractor figures out what works, and then they just repeat that process over and over and over. I know people say cash is king, and then I heard once that cash. If cash is king, and cash flow,
that's right,
is the kingdom.
That's right.
And so I think that's one thing to keep in mind, you know, figure out what works, but then keep on doing that over and over and over and create that cash flow.
Mm-hmm. I saved this quote the other day. It says, you throw a bucket of water on a rock and it doesn't do a thing. You let a drop of water fall onto a rock every day and it creates a hole. Consistency beats intensity. And I feel like that's what happens so often when we get into business for ourselves is, you know what, in the next 6 months, I'm going to go do this and this and this. Or you want to go to the gym and you go, you know what, in the next 6 months, I'm going to get ripped. Or you say, you know what, I'm going to go run a marathon. And you go with and you start with intensity. You throw a bucket of water at it and you go, oh, that's hard and I can't see any results. When the reality is you'd be better off going starting small and doing something every single day and just adding a little more and a little more and growing to where every day you can throw a bucket of water on it. And now you're going to create a massive hole instead of just going nuts right out of the gate and burning yourself out. I think one of the biggest things that keeps people from actually having success is they have to see results too fast. We live in a world where people are very impatient. They want to see the results yesterday. And they think, because of social media, that that's what most people have done, is they've been able to become an overnight success. When the reality is, they don't show you all the intensity and all the hard work that they had to do. All you see is a little bit of the iceberg sticking out of the surface of the water, but most of that iceberg is underneath where you can't see it. I'd rather work with somebody that does a little something every single day and does that for the next 10 years than work with somebody that does it crazy for a year and gets burned out and quits.
Or you do it for 10 years and then you think something else is shinier and, you know, I'm bored with this, and you run over there and you do that for 5 years and then you get bored with that and you run over, and people do that their entire life and they never get ahead. You're much smarter getting really, really good at doing.
I like to compare that analogy to learning how to play a musical instrument. If you go try to learn how to play a piano and you work at it for 3 months and you're like, this is pretty hard, I think a guitar would be easier, and you pick up a guitar and you do that for 3 months and you're like, this is pretty hard, I think maybe a banjo would, you know, be the thing. And so you do that, and all of a sudden, before you know it, you've went to 3, 4, 5 instruments. You've got them all laying in the corner. You can't master a single one. But you know what? If you'd have stuck to that guitar or that piano right out of the gate and put all that time and effort into just that, people would sit around and learn and watch you sing, because you could master it. You would be really good at it. So figure out what it is that you want to do and put your effort into that consistently until it sounds beautiful. And once it sounds beautiful, if you want to diversify, then consider doing something. But don't go try to start a roofing company and an Airbnb business and a rifle business all at the same time, because they're probably all going to end up sitting in the corner.
That was beautiful.
Sounded melodious.
Tune in next week for our political commentary. I'm not sure if we get into politics or not, but
hey, I'll talk about it.
We'll see.
I'm good with talking about it.
All right. Let's see.
As long as we're talking about Trump.
Hey there, commercial roofing pros. Save the date, March 13 and 14th, 2025. The Smarter Roofer Conference is coming your way. Get ready for 2 action-packed days of trainings and insights on the key ingredients of a successful business. Learn cutting-edge strategies, boost your sales tactics, and elevate your marketing game. But that's not all. Connect with fellow roofing business owners, meet top industry vendors, and have a ton of fun along the way. This is a must-attend event to take your commercial roof coating business to new heights. Save the date, March 13 and 14th, 2025. Let's build success together at the Smarter Roofer Conference.